Welcome, needy nerds and grasping geeks, to episode 50 of the Nerdstravaganza podcast, the most recommended podcast on 12 systems. Tonight's topic is nerdy needs, but before we get to that, we need to share with you the latest happenings in our lives with our usual geekly weekly roundup. Brian, why don't you go first?
Not a lot to report this week. I've been completely obsessed watching two Kickstarters wind down and wind up. Drake, the miniatures game featuring dragons, and nothing but dragons, ended Saturday, I think. And believe it or not, the Dragon Breath templates are what finally pushed me over the edge.
Financially?
No, I was going to go... I was going to go with like one tiny little starter set, and I had to have the templates when those got unlocked, and the add-on for the templates brought my total to where it just made more sense to upgrade.
Right.
And then I stopped, I didn't stop upgrading. So they're etching my name to the side of their building as we speak.
Nice.
Because it was only $5 extra. I mean, who wouldn't? And just as that one ended, Robotech RPG Tactics started. And I've pretty much been hitting F5 every 37 seconds since then. If anyone's into that, they're, as we record this, about to unlock the Mach 2 monster. And I'm really excited about that. Rick, you're going to love this game. Seriously. Tom kind of knows how awesome it is to begin with. I don't think you're a Robotech fan at all, are you?
I'm not a fan, but I'm not like a diehard follow it. But it is a cartoon that is on my queue, and I watch them every now and then. And it's got big, giant robots, so I hate it.
The monster that they're about to unlock looks huge. It's probably on par with the Gargantuans for War Machine.
Oh, nice.
I can't wait.
The thing about that Kickstarter was I was already, I'm like, all right, two-player thing, it's $80, I'm in. And then I'm like, oh, but I don't get this, or this if I don't go for that. So I'm going to wait a little bit and see how much it's really going to cost me.
It looks like... They have that planned out. It looks like they're unlocking a lot of the stuff that you're not getting and making the initial investment a lot. I think the 140, you'll get pretty much everything you could want.
Yeah, that's looking like the one. So if I can get Kim to go halves on it, I'm definitely in. But we'll see.
Right. And the only reason, like, I'm going a little bit higher than that because the monsters are $40 each. But you don't really need that figure. That's a showpiece. I don't think anyone's going to actually play that.
Right.
But maybe. We'll see. But if not, you can always just play my other faction since it comes with both.
Cool.
And that was it. And I painted a lot. I'm still working on that Vanguard I talked about last week. Hopefully we'll wrap that up 2-3 more nights and be able to unveil it at something.
Cool, man. Your rapacious greed is appropriate given tonight's topic.
Probably not the last time Robotech will come up.
Probably not the time rapacious greed will come up either, because this episode's all about stuff we quote-unquote need. Speaking of which, Ricky, what did life require of you this week?
To be an eco-nerd of sorts.
In celebration. Farming?
No farming, but in celebration of Earth Day, I took a long weekend and went up to Disney World, and I hung around multiple parks over the last few days, but on Monday specifically, I went to Earth Day celebration, which also happens to be the anniversary of Animal Kingdom. So it was their 15-year anniversary / birthday, and went there for opening day ceremonies and partook. Is that, that's a word, in a bunch of anniversary celebrations and stuff like that. So I had a very nerdy Disney weekend, played some Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom. I only need 2 more cards to complete my whole set, which is badass. And then other than that, I have been ridiculously addicted to Bionic Commando Rearmed.
Oh, wow.
You guys familiar with this?
Oh, yes, I have it.
Okay. Well, for those who aren't familiar with it, it's the original Bionic Commando game, redone with new graphics and stuff, but all the same levels as the original NES and Game Boy game. It was on sale for like 320 Microsoft points. I downloaded the demo, played it literally for like, you guys know me, I hang on to demos for years. I played this one for 3 minutes and I was like, click, click, mine. And first of all, it's badass. Secondly, it's hard as shit, which makes it, I guess, better, because if it was way too easy, it would suck. But I'm totally loving that. And then the other game I got sucked into, man, it is like a game that mixes like RPG and Minecraft together, and it's called Terraria. You guys familiar with this one?
Never heard.
Not.
It's cool, man. I didn't buy it yet because I'm cheap and it's not on sale yet. But it basically takes the elements of Minecraft where you can build stuff, craft things and all that, but it's in like a 2D side scroller and has RPG elements throughout. I could be totally blowing some smoke into this description because I'm still playing the demo, but that's what it seems like it is. I don't know. It seems pretty cool so far. I dug a lot, built some houses. You know me, dude. Anything that's like grindy and you don't do anything really in a game, that's I'm all about it. So, Earth Day, Terraria, and Bionic Commando Rearmed. That's my update.
Nice, man.
One more.
Okay.
X-Wing, Miniatures, Starfield, Game Tile Kit.
Cool.
We've been bitching and complaining that there's no map for our wonderful game of X-Wing. X-Wing Miniatures, as they call it, which I think is a crappy name. But it was announced, I guess, last week that they were coming out with these Starfield tiles. So you get 12 one-by-one tiles that are double-sided, printed. Some have asteroids, some have Death Star parts, some have Alderaan parts, some have just space fields. And you can make your battlefield out of these. So I pre-ordered a set. Won't get them until July at the earliest. But a definite recommendation for those who are in the need of an X-Wing game field, play field, game mat, whatever you want to call it, go get them. Now I'm done.
Cool, man. Just wanted to say on the Bionic Commando front that I bought that game and it came out before the actual 3D, you know, new Bionic Commando game that they made. That game itself is awesome, and I actually liked the 3D game, though it was panned by the game press. That is the game that caused me to lose all faith in the gaming press, because it was very much groupthink regarding that game instead of independent and fair criticism.
Really? Bionic Commando Rearmed got 9.4 on IGN. So it was favored. I was surprised to see that. I looked that up right before the show.
Yeah, it was an excellent game. But then I guess the follow on, the actual like 3D, like modernized, whatever you want to call it, version got just completely lambasted. And I felt unfairly. I thought it was a good game.
Hmm. They were both on sale, but I went with the one that I knew the levels of, because I have a huge fondness of that game on Game Boy.
Guess that brings it over to me. I have been up to a little more Ni No Kuni on the PlayStation 3. I've been doing my part for the environment. I had to commute down to Miami for what was a very hellish long week last week. So I availed myself of public transportation at least a couple of the days, taking the Tri-Rail and Metro Rail. I'm a little bit of a geek about public transit, so it was a refreshing change of pace.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. Also made my way up to a very rainy, stormy Epcot after going to a family event in the Orlando area, and enjoyed it, actually. I enjoyed that the rain cleared the park out. Was able to score two unique Epcot 30th anniversary pins in a blind box that I bought,
and a single new Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom card, which I was a little disappointed about, but I'm sure I can trade for something better. In addition, I discovered a leak, what sure felt like a drop of water landing on my head, in the most unlikely of places, near the apex of the Spaceship Earth ride. Right where, anybody familiar with that ride will know about this, otherwise I'll try to describe it as best I can. There's a part where you kind of reach the apex of the ride, where your ride carriage kind of turns around and leans you back. And you make a descent down, because of course you're riding inside the huge Epcot sphere, which is where that ride is.
It's a golf ball, let's call it what it is.
Oh, God. The geogolfic disc, or whatever it's called. The geogolfic sphere. But I got popped right between the eyes by a drop of, because it was raining so torrentially outside. So I guess there's some leaks in that thing.
That's scary.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, and what is it? 30 years old now? Over 30 years old. Well, obviously, 30th anniversary. Over 30 years old now. Stands to reason that it would have sprung a leak or two. I guess. But yeah, interesting finding at Epcot Center. Did not diminish my love for the place. Also, took a little, because of the rain, spent a little more time than I normally would in the innovations pavilions, where I noted that they had kind of like an eco-living display. You know, sort of, at least that's what I took it as. I didn't stop in that one. But basically how to live green, yep. I think. They also had an inert, inaccessible, non-interactive Chevy Volt sitting there, which I still found cool. It kind of made me interested in the Chevy Volt car, or GM Volt, whatever it's called. And IBM had a new display entitled Think, which was all about the history of technology, at least as IBM was involved in it. And that represented exactly the kind of thing that I'm looking to see when I go to Epcot. So I think they took our advice, and they are getting some active corporate sponsorship in there now.
Yeah, I was also there on Sunday, and we didn't run into each other, oddly enough. But we both experienced that IBM Think exhibit. There was a cool movie that they talked about, all these different ways of tracking technology and growth of technology and stuff like that. And then they had these fantastic, gigantic monoliths of video walls that you could basically scroll through a timeline, touch but it was like a drawing of a timeline. It was very artsy. I really enjoyed my stay at this part of the exhibit. And you would just go along this timeline. And you could click on different titles or pictures, and it would give you like a multimedia information about specific scientific engagements or inventions or – what's the word I'm looking for, Tom?
Just sort of milestones.
Milestones, that's the word. That's the word. And it was pretty cool. And then they had, you know, some stuff tied into a game, and Tom won the game and sent me an email with his picture, which was funny and weird at the same time. It was like a new version of old Epcot, and I could not tell enough cast members in that building how satisfied I was. I must have told 15 people, and it looked like maybe two of them gave a shit, so...
Yeah, apathetic cast members seem to be the norm. I don't know if it was the rain or what this week, but I was really excited about the Think exhibit, and I went to try to talk to some of the people, and they just did not seem interested in hearing my accolades. So, whatever. I liked it. I'd like to see, I'd like to go in there and see a Google and maybe an Apple exhibit next time. You know, follow suit. Don't let IBM monopolize the Epcot nerdy audience.
Yeah, from a multimedia tech perspective, it was done like to the nines, dude. And then design aspect, I mean, we're talking Apple iBranding quality with that 100 Think timeline around just all the design, packaging, the whole thing was fucking great, dude. I loved it.
Yeah, very well done.
And it's going to be there for about another year or so. So if you're in the Epcot area, stop and check it out.
The movie that Rick mentioned talks all about how data can be used to meet or in the quest to meet the needs of mankind.
Yes.
Which is appropriate given that our show topic tonight is nerdy needs, which we define as things that mankind probably doesn't need, but which we nevertheless recommend for a happy life.
That's right. These are our nerdy recommendations to our nerdy audience. Some of these things may be things that you already are into. Some of them may be things you had forgotten about. Some of them may be things you don't like at all. But you know what? They're in our Swiss Army knife of nerdism, and we're passing them on to you. And that's the best description I can come up with.
I think it's an appropriate description. So, who should go first? Who should kick things off on the nerdy needs topic?
Do you want to kick it off?
Okay. I was thinking Brian, because he's been a little pensive. But yeah, I'll go for it.
I'm brooding. I didn't get to go to Epcot.
Oh, sorry, bro. I didn't. It was an unscheduled trip on my part. I was up there and I was like, oh, what the hell? I'm here anyway. You need to go to Epcot, though. There you go. There's a need. Need one, go to Epcot. No, that's not my
first
need.
Show's over.
My first need, and I only came to realize what a need it was when I lost one recently, is a robotic vacuuming robot of some kind. And I know appliances don't sound very fun, but you have to understand, the little robot that vacuums your house adds a whole new dimension to a household chore. Two new dimensions. Dimension one being that it does it for you. Dimension two being that it's a little robot, and you can name it, and you'll enjoy watching it vacuum. I guarantee you will not be able to appreciate how cool it is until you actually see this little like robotic servant cleaning up for you. It's really cool. It's really cool. I have owned two Roomba robots from iRobot, and they have both died. So I'm currently without one, and it's making me realize what a necessity a Roomba is in my nerdy life. However, I might not get a third Roomba. I'm also considering a Neato, which is a competing robot that uses a different technique for vacuuming.
Ooh.
Yeah, I think it uses like lasers to map your room and kind of navigates that way, as opposed to the Roomba, which just employs like a coverage algorithm to hit most spots. But regardless of what I settle on, I'm definitely going to have to get one soon because, I mean, the dust bunnies have taken over and I despise vacuuming. And even if I didn't despise it, even if I had a cool Dyson vacuum that Rick likes so much, I wouldn't find the task nearly as enjoyable as watching my little robot servant do it for me. So that's my first recommendation. Get yourself a vacuuming robot.
All right. My first recommendation is going to be for those of you like myself, who wanted to become a comic book nerd, but couldn't find a good launching pad. I found myself time and time again, where's a good place to start? Where's a good place to start? Because it just seemed like every stupid story started somewhere else. And in hindsight, maybe this story that I'm about to suggest does as well, but you can pick just it up by itself, read it from beginning to end. You're at the beginning and you're at the end. Even though it does have ties, you will never notice because I never read anything before or after, and I'm totally good with it. Now, I'm a big fan of the X-Men. I love the movies and stuff like that. Always wanted to get into the X-Men comics. Could never really find a good spot until I came across the title House of M. And this is like a 8-book story arc, but you can get it in a trade paperback, which is probably the best and cheapest way to go. And basically, I'm not going to give any spoilers or anything because this is a cool-ass story, especially if you love the mutants and the X-Men and stuff like that. There's a new alternate reality where mutants are the majority and normal humans are the minority. And the humans are now a second-class citizen suffering from all the same ridicule, indignity, and, you know, same constant fear of, like, persecution and all that the mutants have had to endure pretty much forever. And now mutants, you know, they're in the majority, but they also hold all the positions of authority in business, in the high, like political offices, government, military, all that kind of stuff. And there's one little twist, and that is that Wolverine, his mind rejected this new reality. So he knows of his new life and this new reality, but he's also aware that it's fabricated. So that's the only plot twisty thing I'm going to give away. But this is a definite recommendation for those of you who want a cool X-Men storyline and want just like you could read it as a one shot, or you could go into some of the branch off. They have like alternate storylines that tell the same story from perspective of different characters. Like there's a House of M Spider-Man and a House of M Wolverine and a House of M this guy and a House of M that guy. And it all happens on the same timeline, but you're getting different perspectives. So that's my comic book recommendation. That's my number one.
Cool. How about you, Brian? You got a recommendation for us?
I have an anime recommendation. And I have encountered people who didn't get into this, and I have no idea why. So if you don't get this, I apologize wholeheartedly. You're a lousy person. Urusei Yatsura is kind of the House of M of anime to me. I had watched anime before, and it was okay, and this got me hooked on watching the entire series, the complete series. It's got high school romance, classism, geeks and nerds, space girls in bikinis, giant tiger space cats, fire-breathing rubber ducky riding babies. It's a hilarious anime. The only thing that I would say maybe possibly against it is it's very old now, and its age shows, I think. It's not poorly done, but it's definitely not up to today's standards. But you cannot have more fun watching anime that I've ever encountered.
I wholeheartedly agree. I highly recommend Urusei Yatsura.
Not anybody. Not the Ukrainian band, by the way. There's a very strange Russian metal group called We Are Yatsura. I was really disappointed when I learned that. I was like, wow, they made a soundtrack. Oh no.
They didn't do a cover of Cosmic Cycler.
They did not. Nor
Cosmic Cycler.
Rick, have you heard Cosmic Cycler?
I have not.
We'll share it.
I smell a show link.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Number two.
Yeah, that brings us around the number two. Do we want to go in the same batting order?
Sure.
I'm happy to go again. All right. Okay. All right. I was going to mention that you should also get a robotic pet or a friend, such as a Verbot, but the vacuuming robot might fill that niche for you. Otherwise, get yourself a classic Verbot or Aibo dog or some kind of pet. Or even a Furby, whatever. Whatever does it for you.
Duct tape a Furby to the top of that Roomba, and you got yourself a pet and a cleaner.
There you go. You've got a pet and a household servant. But I'm not. I'm not going to recommend that. Instead, I'm going to recommend something that you should kind of always have, I feel, because I feel like something's missing from my life when I don't, as sort of a background thread or demon running in your life. That being some kind of MMORPG account. I always like to have one cooking on one burner, preferably with friends. It's not really fun to play them alone, I find. When I don't have an active MMORPG account or I'm not active in one with friends, I feel like I'm missing something. Like every once in a while, I like to just jump into a familiar world and, you know, move the ball down the field a little bit as far as my character development goes. And as well, socialize with my friends and have a fun time getting wiped out by monsters we're not adept enough to defeat. So I'll throw that out as a recommendation. Get yourself an MMORPG account of some kind and keep one running as a background thread at all times.
All right, my number two. I agree with Tom, except for the fact that it sucks when you realize that you haven't played it in 6 months, but you're paying $15 a month for it anyway. Okay, my number two. You know, growing up, I was always a pretty one-off individual, stuck out in the crowd kind of guy. And I was kind of known for my funky-ass t-shirts. Well, as I got older and more bitter, I turned into what I like to call same boy. And I like to think of myself as a Tim Burton character, because he likes to name everything like Stain Boy or Oyster Boy or Robot Boy or what have you. So I created Same Boy. And for probably the last decade or so, if not probably even longer, I buy matching black shirts and matching jeans and matching black Converse. And I will wear the same thing pretty much every single day of the week. Well, that all changed a few months ago when I came across a site called $6shirts.com. Now, they offer a different shirt every single day of the year. The shirt initially starts out as $6, and then usually by the end of the week, I think it's $6, but then you also got to pay for shipping. But you can find all kinds of cool-ass shirts. I have gotten killer Star Wars shirts, killer game shirts, internet meme-type shirts, all kinds of good shit. I will admit, the quality varies, but for $6, who gives a shit, right? And, you know, I found that they have a lot of shirts that mash up my favorite things. Like, I have Mickey Mouse dressed as Darth Vader, and I wear that one to the park all the time. I wore one just this past weekend. It's R2 Duck 2, and it's R2-D2, and he has a Donald Duck beak and a Donald Duck hat. And this shirt is so cool that as the parade was going by, Donald Duck, on the float, pointed at my shirt, pointed at himself, pointed at my shirt, pointed at himself, put his hands up over his beak, wiggled and giggled, then gave me the double thumbs up, because that's how cool he is, I am, and my shirt was. $6shirts.com. Boom!
That is the most badass story I've ever heard in my life. So you got props from Donald himself.
Yep, and there's tons of nerdy, funny shit on there, retro stuff. I got a Commodore 64 shirt there. Everything, dude. You can't beat it. So that's my number two.
Cool. How about you, Brian? What's your numero dos?
I'm going to go with something that I really think a lot of people missed out on. I don't know about anywhere else. I didn't live anywhere else. But when I was young, we had PBS, and they had unique programming. They had stuff that wasn't made in America. And now that everyone loves Doctor Who and everyone loves all of this British stuff that comes out, no one's ever heard of Red Dwarf.
Ugh.
And that's the original British science fantasy to me. I don't get it. I think everybody should know Red Dwarf. Red Dwarf is awesome.
I agree. Rick, it should be instantly recognizable.
Rick, do you know Red Dwarf?
I know of it. I have actually seen it. I don't follow it. Kimberly's a big fan. It's on Netflix, so if anybody's got a Netflix account, you can definitely catch up and watch it and check it out. It's Brian, it's in my queue. It's on my list.
Brian, sell Rick on it right now by describing the cat.
There's one scene where, okay, so basically the last human being, his dead holographic roommate, and the being that evolved from his pregnant cat. There's one scene.
Sold!
There's one scene far into the future where the three of them encounter an alien life form that takes the form of the creature you find most attractive, most lovely, your perfect companion. And one by one, they meet the creature individually, And it's this beautiful half-naked woman for one of them, and it's like an Amazonian, like, master race woman for the other one. And when the cat walks in, it's him. That says a lot about the cat, I feel.
Yeah. Red Dwarf. I can't back this one up strongly enough. If you're into just well-written comedy, you should like Red Dwarf and sci-fi as well. Don't miss it. I guess that completes round two, guys. You want to swing over to round three?
One more round.
All right, I've got the stamina. I've got the stamina to go another round. Let's do it. Let's do it. All right, ding, ding. Round three for me. I will recommend to anyone who has a hankering to tinker in the electronic, in the area of amateur electronics, an Arduino. I will recommend that you get yourself an Arduino Uno, the very basic Arduino board. An Arduino is, and keep me honest in my terminology here, Rick, it's basically a little microcontroller with accompanying inputs and outputs, and it lets you, it serves as the brain for a number of, or any number of little electronics projects you want to come up with. And it is, to me, the House of M of electronic stuff. Because you can ask Rick. I was so reluctant to mess. I'm a computer programmer by trade. So anything hardware or electronics related, I'm just like, ugh! Like I deal only in the ether, right? Only in code. But the Arduino was very accessible, very easy to use. And in addition to being a great platform to learn electronics, if you want to learn how to program, also a good platform to try your hand at a little coding. So I can't recommend it enough. You can either pick it up at a number of online retailers or pop in to your local Radio Shack, because they have, to their credit, done a great job in backing Arduino and bringing it into the public consciousness. You will not pay any kind of a premium for shopping there. Their prices are competitive with any that you'll find online.
Rick, on that product only.
I was just going to ask if I was stating that honestly, and there you have it from Rick. Yes, at least when it comes to that, they are you have pricing parity with online retailers. So give Arduino as a platform a try. Get yourself the very affordable Arduino Uno board, a bunch of lights and wires and other accessories to go with it, and go to town. And feel free to reach out to Rick at the Nerdstravaganza, who is our resident Arduino electronics and circuit bending expert, if you have any questions. I am a mere Padawan compared to Rick the Master, so reach out to him.
I'm an Arduinoid.
Indeed.
Yeah, actually, you know, that was going to be probably on my list as well, so I'm glad you took it, because coming from you, who actually was so hesitant and I kept begging you, please, it's really easy, it's really easy. Probably a better sell from you than from me, but I can't back up what Tom said enough. If you have any interest in, I mean, this thing was made for artists, and you know, it's not geared towards hardware people. It's not geared towards software people. It's geared to you having an idea and making it come to fruition. So Arduino. I actually used to hate it, I'm not going to lie, and I got totally turned around on it after 5 seconds of using one. I was like, oh my God, I love you. I want to make a gynoid out of you and marry you. So I'm going to go with an extended electronics recommendation that you can actually use with your newly purchased Radio Shack Arduino, and that would be an app for your Android device, a little app called ElectroDroid. There's a free version and a paid version. They both have the same stuff. You get some very non-intrusive ads in the free version. But if you want to buy the Pro, it's only $2.69 or something like that. It's really cheap. And basically what this is it's kind of like a Swiss Army knife of electronic information. It's a collection of electronic tools and references. like resistor color codes, Ohm's law calculator, voltage divider calculators. It's got pinouts for pretty much any kind of port you could ever find, decibel converters, 555 calculators, calculator upon calculator upon calculator. And in the electronics world, you'll find calculator a lot of times is more like something to help you with reference. So this has data sheets for parts and plugs you might use. I mean, it is the single best electronic reference tool and electronics tool assistant you could possibly get. And for $2.69, ElectroDroid Pro is your best bet. They didn't pay me to say that. I use it all the time at the lab.
Brian, are you rich? Who paid you to plug their product?
Sega.
All right.
I can't decide. I hoped this would come to me during the show, and it still hasn't. I cannot decide if I would rather consider the Dreamcast a need or the Saturn.
If you want my opinion on that, I would say that if you... Gosh, I was going to make the distinction that if you wanted to be a respected classical, you know, classic gamer, you go with the Saturn. But they're both classic systems at this point. I would say go with the Saturn because while the Dreamcast has some notable titles, its library of notable titles is smaller than the Saturn, especially if you include the import offerings in the Saturn's library. A lot of really awesome games available on the Saturn. So I would say get both, but my bias would be towards owning a Saturn.
Rick?
I have no preference over those two. I've never officially owned either one, so my vote doesn't count. Although, I would play Seaman. And that would be my artificial intelligent robotic pet that lived in my house.
Nice. What's got you so torn, Brian? Just love both so much? Or?
Well, I really wanted to go with a Saturn originally, but then I started thinking about all the amazing things on the Dreamcast, and I you know what? I actually forgot the name of the game. I think it's Techromancer?
Yes.
That single mech fighting game?
Yes.
That is what is so difficult for me. I can't trump that on a Saturn. As much as I love Saturn fighting games, nothing has more nerdy flair than giant robot well-known robot knockoffs fighting game.
I would say, boy, if you're going to talk about notable Dreamcast titles, and I don't know if this ended up being an exclusive or not, but I really liked the Power Stone games as well.
Yeah, those were great. Power Stone 1, I mean, I played that so much. And then 2 was really cool, but I actually never had it, so I didn't play it nearly as much.
That game was also very, very cool. In the Saturn column, though, you had a lot of really good RPGs, even the all domestic release. You had Panzer Dragoon Saga. You had Shining the Holy Ark. You had Albert Odyssey. On the fighting front, now we're going to have to go into imports. You had the, I forgot which Marvel game it was.
All
it was
of like, them. The 2D Marvel games?
Yeah.
Street Fighter versus Marvel versus Capcom versus.
Just like arcade perfect ports, like amazing games. And I played so much of those. That's actually what prompted me to actually import the memory upgrade card and everything. They were so great. Gosh, there's so many other games for the Saturn. Guardian Heroes, right? That game was really cool. Knights. Don't forget Knights, which introduced the concept of the analog controller before anyone else did. That was really cool. I could go on and on. Saturn's just got a massive library of cool crap. So it gets my vote, though I won't argue with you if you choose the Dreamcast. It's a tough choice.
I think the 2D fighting games are going to make me go with Saturn.
Yay!
Those were 2D fighting's my favorite, and those were 2D fighting done perfectly.
Okay, I've got one final thing to put you over the edge. The Dungeons and Dragons arcade game compilation where you had both D&D beat 'em up games.
Oh, you're right. That was very good.
Yay for Saturn. Nice. So get a Sega Saturn.
A Sega Saturn, definitely.
And then definitely also get a Dreamcast. Both.
You'll never need another system, but if you're going to anyway, Dreamcast.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's round three. Is this a knockout, or do you think we can go into overtime?
Let's knock it out.
Knock it out? We're done? We're on the ropes?
Yeah, are there any nerdy need to happenings going on that anybody needs to know about?
If I'm not mistaken, May 4th will be occurring around the time this episode's released. May 4th is known colloquially as Free Comic Book Day throughout the nation. So don't forget to stop by your local comic retailer and mooch off them for all the free crap you can get your hands on.
And it's also known as May the 4th be with you. It's kind of a stretch, but works. And a lot of places are doing some cool special stuff in the Star Wars realm. And locally, Tate's Gaming Satellite is actually putting on a little shindig where they're doing demos for the new Star Wars card game, the X-Wing fighter game that we're always hammering about. They're going to be doing some supersized X-Wing miniatures game. So they're using these – they're painting up the floor – big star field, and we're going to have, you know, giant size game pieces to be playing. It's going to be a 10% discount on all Star Wars games, and the complete Star Wars saga will be playing in store all day long. And to top it all off, appearances by the infamous 501st Doom Trooper Legion.
Whoa, nice.
Yeah, so that's
nice.
All day Star Wars Fest at Tate's Gaming Satellite in Tamarack.
I would remind our audience members that they need to subscribe to our podcast in iTunes. They need to give it the maximum number of stars. And they absolutely, without a doubt, need to spend a lot of time writing a high-quality, well-thought-out review of our podcast.
And if you need to hate on the iTunes, then you can head on over to www.nerdstravaganza.com, where you can download the show, stream the show, rate the show, comment on the show, send us an email at nerdstravaganza@gmail.com, and then I need to pass it to Brian.
I highly recommend meeting us on Facebook. Like the page, join the group, have chance after chance to win very nice stickers with our logo.
You need these stickers, people. Boom, just like that, another one in the fucking can.